step up here.
It's coming.
Step up here. Okay, step up, step up. Please face the cross as we begin with our opening song.
Thank you.
Let us begin this day in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. You may be seated as our service now continues with our readings.
Our first reading is taken from the book of Acts, chapter 9, verses 1 through 22. But Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogues at Damascus, so that if he found any belonging to the way, men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. Now as he went on his way, he approached Damascus, and suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him, and falling to the ground, he heard a voice saying to him, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" And he said, "Who are you, Lord?" And he said, "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. But rise and enter the city, and you will be told what you are to do." The men who were traveling with him stood speechless, hearing the voice, but seeing no one. Saul rose from the ground, and although his eyes were opened, he saw nothing. So they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. And for 3 days he was without sight and neither ate nor drank. Now there was a disciple at Damascus named Ananias. The Lord said to him in a vision, "Ananias." And he said, "Here I am, Lord." And the Lord said to him, "Rise and go to the street called Straight, and at the house of Judas look for a man of Tarsus named Saul. For behold, he is praying, and he has seen in a vision a man named Ananias come in and lay his hands on him so that he might regain his sight." But Ananias answered, "Lord, I have heard from many about this man, how much evil he has done to your saints at Jerusalem. And here he has authority from the chief priests to bind all who call on your name." But the Lord said to him, "Go, for he is a chosen instrument of mine to carry my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how much he must suffer for the sake of my name." So Ananias departed and entered the house. And laying his hands on him, he said, "Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road by which you came, has sent me so that you may regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit." And immediately something like scales fell from his eyes, and he regained his sight. Then he rose and was baptized, and taking food, he was strengthened. For some days he was with the disciples at Damascus, and immediately he proclaimed Jesus in the synagogue, saying, "He is the Son of God." And all who heard him were amazed and said, "Is not this the man who made havoc in Jerusalem of those who called upon this name? And has he not come here for this purpose to bring them bound before the chief priests?" But Saul increased all the more in strength, and confounded the Jews who lived in Damascus by proving that Jesus was the Christ. Here ends the reading. Our epistle reading for today is taken from Revelations chapter 5, verses 8 through 14. And when he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each holding a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song, saying, "Worthy are you to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain, and by your blood you ransomed people for God from every tribe and language and people and nation. And you have made them a kingdom and priests to our God, and they shall reign on the earth." Then I looked, and I heard around the throne and the living creatures and the elders the voice of many angels, numbering myriads of myriads and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing." And I have heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and in the sea and all that is in them saying, "To him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be blessing and honor and glory and might forever and ever." And the four living creatures said, "Amen." And the elders fell down and worshipped. Here ends the reading. Please stand for the reading of the gospel.
Reading from the Gospel according to St. John, the 21st chapter. The actual verses are 1 through 19. After this, Jesus revealed himself again to the disciples by the Sea of Tiberias. And he revealed himself in this way: Simon Peter, Thomas called the twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two others of his disciples were together. Simon Peter said to them, "I am going fishing." They said to him, "We will go with you." They went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Just as day was breaking, Jesus stood on the shore, yet the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to them, "Children, do you have any fish?" They answered him, "No." He said to them, "Cast the net on the right side of the boat, and you will find some." So they cast it. And now they were not able to haul it in because of the quantity of fish. That disciple whom Jesus loved therefore said to Peter, "It is the Lord." When Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his outer garment, for he was stripped for work, and threw himself into the sea. The other disciples came in the boat, dragging the net full of fish, for they were not far from the land, about 100 yards off. When they got out on land, they saw a charcoal fire in place with fish laid out on it and bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish that you have just caught." So Simon Peter went aboard and hauled the net ashore, full of large fish, 153 of them. And although there were so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." Now none of the disciples dared ask him, "Who are you?" They knew it was the Lord. Jesus came and took the bread and gave it to them, and so with the fish. This was now the third time that Jesus was revealed to the disciples after he was raised from the dead. When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Feed my lambs." He said to him a second time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Tend my sheep." He said to him the third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep. Truly, truly, I say to you, when you were young, you used to dress yourself and walk wherever you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands, and another will dress you and carry you where you do not want to go." This he said to show by what kind of death he was to glorify God. And after saying this, he said to him, "Follow me." Here ends the gospel reading. You may be seated as we now continue with our sermon song.
You are good when there's nothing.
Grace and peace be with you from God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. There I was on a nice day, much like today, driving down the road. Had one of my buddies with me. We were talking about theology, my favorite topic. I don't know if it's your guys', but it's mine. Had the GPS all lined up, telling me everywhere I needed to go. It was a perfect day. And then I heard that sound, that noise, that voice that you really don't ever want to hear, but there it was all the same. Recalculating. I looked down, and sure enough, I had missed my exit. There it went. I kept on driving. I was so engrossed in my conversation, I had completely missed my turnoff. Now, luckily for me, this was one of those times, right down the road, there's another exit. Only added a few minutes to my time. I got lucky. I got lucky that it didn't add that much time. But I missed my exit. Have you ever done that? You ever missed your exit? Have you ever heard that voice recalculating? Maybe that wasn't your story, you know. But I feel like all of us can find an example of that kind of thing somewhere, somehow, that happened. We're going in a different direction. We're forced to loop around to find another way. I mean, we've all done it in a vehicle, but maybe you haven't. We've all had that direction that we were headed, a place where we were going, and somehow, some way, we missed our exit. Maybe it has nothing to do with cars, but something to do with the degree of our lives. Maybe we had our lives all plotted out, all planned out, all the directions lined up. We got to step one, and then whenever we expected step two, we got step B, and we didn't know what to do. We're left going, what happened? Where did step two go? Why didn't it work? Our plan was going so well. It was going to be flawless. This is very pertinent for our confirmation, confirmands here today. You know, this is one of those things where you're reaching a step in your lives, and you're wondering about what that next step is going to be. And sometimes it works out perfectly, and sometimes it doesn't. We get a good job, only to find that we can't tolerate our boss, and we can't work there. And all of a sudden, all those plans about moving up the ladder, they come to a crashing halt. We go to college, only to discover we can't find that dream job that advisor promised us once we would graduate. It's just not there. Or maybe it has nothing to do with achievement. Maybe you went to that doctor's appointment, or you were involved in a car accident and something happened, and all of a sudden all those plans that you had for your life, all those ideas that you said, we were going to do this, and you're just left with that question. Where are we going? We're left asking that question. We're left holding our lives and our problems in our hands, thinking about what it is we should do next. When step two doesn't come, you can't just jump to step three. When life throws you a curveball, when you're left holding that bag of confusion in your life, and it can feel so disorientating. If you came to church this morning expecting to hear the preacher talk, stand up and talk to you about how all us Christians have everything all together, I'm so sorry to disappoint you. But the reality is that we don't have it all together. We don't. Our plans mess up just like everybody else's. We make up all these plans only to see them all come to a close, falter and fall. And when our plans fall to pieces and we come to the scriptures, we come to our Bibles and we say, what can we do, if anything? Our first temptation, we might say, well, we're gonna look at Jesus, but then we find that Jesus, in his perfection, we kind of feel a little guilty. So we turn and we look at Peter in this morning's text. We look at Peter. Peter, the one who denied Christ three times. The one who was so passionate about following Jesus, but when push came to shove, he missed his exit. He drove straight on through. He denied Christ three times. And now in our gospel lesson, we see Jesus, resurrected from the dead, come up to Peter. Peter the denier. Peter the mess. Peter the one who in Luke 5 told Jesus, don't come near me, a sinner. And now we see him approaching Jesus, having pretty much fulfilled that statement. He is a sinner. He had denied Christ. He had run away from Christ. And that's who we look toward. We don't look at him, though. We also look at how Christ talks to him, how he deals with him. And Christ asks him, "Do you love me? Do you love me?" In fact, Christ asked Peter this question three times. He asked him about love. Peter, the denier, is given a chance to tell Christ that he loves him. He is given a chance to repent of the three times that he had rejected his Lord. After he denied Christ three times, Peter left and he wept. He knew that he had done wrong. He knew that he had missed the directions that he was supposed to go. He missed the exit. He had done wrong. He had messed up step two. And yet here he is with Christ. And Christ is asking him, "Do you love me?" In this act, Peter repents. It's Peter that finds a loving Savior. It is in Christ that his directions are restored, that Peter is restored. So where are you going? Where are you going? If you're looking for a place to go where everybody has their act together, I'm sorry to say, but this isn't it. We mess up, we screw up, we make mistakes. Some of them hurt. Some of them hurt other people. Some of our mistakes are just things that we end up having to live with for the rest of our lives. So where are you going? If you're going to be around a bunch of perfect people, we're not them. But if you're going to find a group of people that repent when they make mistakes, if you're going to find a group of people that gather around God's Word, maybe this is the right place for you. You see, because that's where we're going. That's where we're headed. We're not going out trying to live our lives as if money is our only answer, or if worldly success is somehow the answer to it all, if world standards are our standards. No, we're going towards our Savior, Christ. We are heading towards Him. That's where we're going. And as we go down that path and that road, it's not going to be a perfect road. We're not going to do it perfectly. In fact, we can't really go down that road at all. If we were to try to go down that road all on our own, we would only fail. It is only through the Holy Spirit that we can, in the first place, go down that road at all. We try to do good. We try not to make mistakes. We try not to sin. We try the best that we can be. We try to be the best that we can be. But when we fail, we come before Jesus Christ, our Savior, in repentance. For that's what we're called to do. That's where we're going. That's where we're called to go. Christ. Christ is where we're headed. In this life, we come to Him in all times and in all places. Good times, bad times. We come to Him in prayer. We come to Him in repentance. We come to Him in joy and we praise His name. But no matter, we come to Him. We come to Him through the power of the Holy Spirit. And in Him, we have life. Not just any life, mind you. We have the promise of eternal life. We have the promise of life in His name. When Christ takes us to be with Him, then with Him is where we will be for all of eternity. You see, that's where we're going. Christ Jesus rose from the dead on the third day, that first Easter morning. And here in our text, He approaches that most troubled person. He approaches Simon Peter. Peter had lost his way. Yet Christ gives forgiveness. Christ gives direction. He gives forgiveness to all of us through His work. He gives forgiveness to all who in faith cling to Him and His work. It's where we're going. It's where we are. In His name. Amen. And now may the peace of Christ, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. Let us now stand as we confess our sins in the word of a prayer. Let us pray. Almighty God, Heavenly Father, we come before You this day, Lord, because we have made those mistakes. We have passed those exits. Lord, we have sinned in so many ways. We have sinned in our thoughts. We have sinned in our words. We have sinned in our deeds. Lord, we come before you today because we've made those mistakes. We've passed and we've gone the wrong direction. We repent of those mistakes and we come to you now in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in need of his mercy and forgiveness. Hear us as we take a few moments to confess before you those sins that weigh upon our hearts in a moment of silence. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, hear us as we confess those sins before you and give us the mercy which you have promised through your Son, our Lord, Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you and for his sake forgives you all of your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all of your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We now confess our common faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. As we continue with the rite of confirmation, everybody can be seated with the exception of one group, and that is the confirmands. Dear confirmands, do you this day, in the presence of God and of this Christian congregation, acknowledge the gifts that God gave you in your baptism? Do you renounce the devil, all his works, and all his ways? Do you believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth? Do you believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord? Do you believe in the Holy Spirit? Do you believe that the Bible is the inspired Word of God? Do you confess the doctrine of the Evangelical Lutheran Church, drawn from the Scriptures, as you have learned to know it from the small catechism, to be faithful and true? Do you intend to hear the Word of God and receive the Lord's Supper faithfully? Do you intend to live according to the Word of God and in faith, word, and deed to remain true to God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, even to death? Do you intend to continue steadfast in this confession and church and to suffer all, even death, rather than fall away from it? We rejoice with thankful hearts that you have been baptized and received the teaching of the Lord. You have confessed the faith and been absolved of your sins. As you continue to hear the Lord's word and receive his blessed sacrament, he who has begun a good work in you will bring it to completion in the day of Jesus Christ. Upon this, your voluntary profession and promise, I, in the name of Christ's church, invite and welcome you as a member of St. John's Lutheran Church and the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod to participate with us in all the rights and privileges of our congregation and church body, In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Confirmands, you may be seated. We now ask that the parents would stand. Dear parents, you have heard the commitment of your children. They need your continued guidance and support. Will you continue to guide and direct, support and encourage your child through an active life of worship, prayer, and service?
Yes.
All right, parents, you may be seated. We ask any sponsors, our mentors that are here among us to stand. You were chosen to serve as sponsors and mentors for these confirmands when they were baptized. Through the years, you have been supportive in prayer and other ways to encourage them in their Christian faith. These young people need your continued support. Will you continue to encourage, strengthen, and pray that he or she would continue to grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ? Now may the entire congregation stand. Such promises are difficult to fulfill. These young people and their parents need God's help, our prayers, and our encouragement.
May God empower us to be ready and willing to
help them whenever it is we can. Please be seated. At this time, we're going to call forward the confirmands individually for their blessings. Jacob Lee Holloway. Your confirmation verse, Psalm 4, verse 8. In peace I will both lie down and sleep. For you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety. Jacob Holloway, the Almighty God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has given you the new birth of water and of the Spirit, who has forgiven you all of your sins, strengthen you with his grace to life everlasting. Amen. Avery Elizabeth Lay. Avery, your confirmation verse, Psalm 56, verse 3. When I am afraid, I put my trust in you. Avery Lay, the Almighty God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has given you this new birth of water and of the Spirit and has forgiven you all of your sins, strengthen you with his grace unto life everlasting. Amen. Kale Howard Lutz. Kale, your confirmation verse is Philippians 4, verse 13. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. Kale Lutz, the Almighty God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has given you the new birth of water and of the Spirit, and has forgiven you all of your sins, strengthen you with his grace to life everlasting. Amen. Keegan, Shamil, Baker, Thomas. Keegan, your confirmation verse, Deuteronomy 31, verse 6. Be strong and courageous. Do not fear or be in dread of them, for it is the Lord your God who goes with you. He will not leave you or forsake you. Keegan Thomas, the Almighty God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has given you this new birth of water and spirit, has forgiven you all of your sins, strengthened you with his grace unto life everlasting. Amen. Let us pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, we thank and praise you for the great goodness in bringing these, your sons and daughters, to the knowledge of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, and enabling them both with the heart to believe and with their mouth to confess his saving name. Grant that bringing forth the fruits of faith, they may continue steadfast and victorious to the day when all who have fought the good fight of faith shall receive the crown of righteousness. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Well, I think that I don't like to clap a whole lot, but congratulations, in fact, that we're welcoming these confirmands into our midst, into the altar of our Lord. At this time, we continue our service with our gifts and our offerings. If you could find that book of friendship found on the side by the aisles and sign that and get to know the people around you, that would be great. Thank you. please stand as we prepare our heart for prayer. Let us now pray for the whole people of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Let us pray. Worthy are you, O Lord, to receive the praise and thanksgiving of your people for sending your Son as the Lamb to ransom your people by his blood and make us a kingdom and priest in your service. You lend your blessing to your church that all we endeavor in your name may be in accord with your will and accomplish your holy purpose in calling many to know with joy your redemption. Be with those who come before you this day to confirm their faith, which they received in the waters of baptism years ago. Especially we pray with those who are being confirmed here, including Jacob Holloway, Avery Lay, Kale Lutz, and Keegan Thomas. Continue to strengthen them in faith through your Holy Spirit. Also be with those who worship and praise your name here at St. John's Lutheran Church, including the Leisman, Lemon, and Lennox families. Bless those who are celebrating birthdays and anniversaries, including Alan and Norma White, who celebrate 40 years of marriage. Continue to strengthen them in love for you and for one another. O Lord, give us good and honest leaders who will govern according to your will and provide for our common life together, protecting those most vulnerable and defending us against all enemies. Bless the members of our armed forces and give to the nation peace and goodwill. Give to each of us strength in the face of temptation, courage in the face of fear, comfort in times of distress, and resolve in the face of persecution. Help us to abound in hope in every circumstance through our faith in Christ. Compassionate Lord, you know the needs of your people before we ask, and yet you call upon us to make known the petitions of our hearts and trust you to supply grace sufficient for all our needs. Give to the sick healing, to the suffering relief, to the troubled peace, to the grieving comfort, and deliver the dying to your rest. Especially we pray for those who have asked us to pray for them, including Mardell Urish, who has been placed on hospice care. We also pray for those who have medical difficulties, including Anna Mae Frederick, and also for those whom we name in before you in our hearts with a brief moment of silence. To you, O Father, who sits upon the throne, and to the Lamb, by the power of the Holy Spirit, be all blessing, honor, glory, and might, both now and forevermore. Amen. Hear us, O Lord, as we pray the prayer you taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen. Stand before you, Lord.